Yeah. King Jesus. We're in a new King Jesus series called The King Who Lives. Y'all ready for this? All right, I'm pumped. I don't know, but these last couple of weeks together, we are heading down the home stretch of Jesus' ministry, his road to the cross where he died for our salvation, and Easter morning, Resurrection Day, is where we'll end up as we look at the moments, the powerful times in Jesus' life where God showed him to be the King of Kings. And I'm so excited about it. And today we're actually going to the mountain, a mountaintop experience of Jesus, all right, to begin this. Now, how many of y'all like the mountains? I just want to hear, just kind of show a hand. Wow, good, awesome, yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure as I talk to most of the people I know in Florida, they would actually like to live in the mountains. I mean, that's like their second home. Some of y'all snowbirds know what I'm talking about. You're actually there. You like to open up that back cabin window or wherever you live, tent, I don't know, and see the glorious splendor of that mountain view. There's just something about the mountain. Maybe it's the climb up. You know, maybe it's the fact that you get to see the view when you get there, or maybe the accomplishment of reaching the summit. And I got to tell you, I love the mountains. There's just something really cool about them. We go through the Smokies almost every single year on the way to Indiana and back. As a kid, I got to go to the Rocky Mountains, just amazing. I've seen mountains in other places like Israel and Jamaica, and maybe you have some of those stories too. Well, just a couple months ago, Lisa and I were on our way back from Indiana, and we were coming through the North Georgia to visit my mom. If you've been in North Georgia, you know, you know there's some beautiful. Now, the roads there are kind of crazy, like most mountains. Getting to her house, I mean, you talk about over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we'll go. I mean, you know, down to your right, there's nothing but the tops of trees, you know, and to the, you know, left is a semi truck and you got no choice. So it's kind of like this. And Lisa's literally like, I'm trying to see the view. I'm just driving. I don't know why she's grabbing the wheel and telling me to stay on the road, but kind of happened that way. Well, just about the time we got, you know, we were right at the top, we were thinking, oh man, the sun was just going down. It was just beautiful, gorgeous. And I thought, wow, it would be so cool to be able to just stop and take this in. But as you know, on those roads, there's nowhere to stop. There's nowhere to pull over. All right. 5 seconds later, I'm not kidding. 5 seconds later, there is a little gravel road you could pull off on and just see the view from this. This was our view just 5 seconds down after we said, hey, we have to capture this moment. So we're able to stop after a long day's driving, just take a deep breath and just take that in. Now, I know this is probably nothing new to some of you, you know, just another mountain sunset. But to us that day, it was remarkable. And we're so glad to be able to capture that moment. Now, how many, I don't know if you've got any mountain stories. I know some of y'all do. So just for the next, I don't know, minute or two, all right, share with your neighbors, all right, maybe what's the most glorious mountain you've ever seen? All right? Or maybe your favorite visit to a mountain, okay? Go ahead and share for just about a minute with each other, and then we'll jump back into this story in Luke chapter 9. I hear you guys. Y'all got stories. I know y'all got stories. Good stuff. Now, some of you guys are world travelers. I know you've seen mountains I could only dream of seeing. And for some of you, you're talking about Mount Dora right now, because that's about the only mountain you've been to here in Florida. But the fact is, maybe you know this, but there are some very just amazing, special things happen on mountains all over the Bible. And none of them more spectacular than the event that we're going to look at today. It's called the Transfiguration of Jesus. The Transfiguration of Jesus. This is a day when God would confirm that Jesus is the King of Kings. It's a day when God would give strength for the journey to Jesus and for all who would follow him, and when he would challenge his followers to be transformed for all the world to see. So for the next few minutes, we're going to look at the story and his glory, the transfiguration of Jesus. Luke chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn in Luke chapter 9. It's in the New Testament. There should be a Bible in front of you in the chair if you don't have one. If you see someone that's kind of doesn't know where, go ahead and help each other find that. Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 28 through 36, and the words will be on the screen as well. Now, while you find Luke chapter 9, quick review, we're in the third year of Jesus' ministry. Okay, he's got about 9 more months to live. Peter has, in fact, they've just fed the 5,000. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And Peter has just confessed to Jesus that he believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, a confession that many of you have made as well. And Jesus affirms this confession, and then he shares with his disciples that he is about to suffer and die and rise again after 3 days. So the transfiguration story is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Just remarkable. And today we're going to focus on Dr. Luke's documentary account, just in Luke chapter 9. We're also going to refer to the others in Mark and Matthew, so I'll skip around a little bit. But Mark chapter 9, verse 28, read along with me, all right? About 8 days after Jesus said this, he had been teaching his disciples about his death and resurrection. He takes Peter, John, and James with him up onto a mountain. Peter, John, and James, these were his best friends, his inner circle. Also, by the way, the men who would be primary leaders in the New Testament church, as we would read about in the book of Acts. So Peter, John, and James get this experience, this mountaintop experience, and they go with him up onto a mountain. Now, Mark and Matthew say it was a high mountain. We don't know for sure, but it was probably Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in Palestine. It was about a week's journey from where they had just come from, so it's reasonable to assume that, but we don't know. What we do know is that Jesus had a purpose for going on the mountain. Do you see it there? Why did he go? Yeah, help me out a little bit. Okay, yes, to pray, good. He went up there to pray, and he went all alone. Verse 29, as he, Jesus, was praying, all right, you're all ready for this? As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. Matthew describes it this way. It says his face shone like the sun. Mark says it was transfigured before them. Transfigured. The Greek word there is metamorpho. It means to be transformed. It means like I brought a light with me. It's kind of lame, but it does trick a little bit better than I thought it was. Light just wasn't shining on Jesus, you know, kind of thing. His face literally shone like the sun. It was just an amazing transformation. That's what that word means. Kind of like Optimus Prime, you know, Bumblebee kind of stuff. Like, changed. It transformed. He became something different. And not only his face, but it says his clothes became as bright. His clothes changed. They became as bright as a flash of lightning. Y'all see lightning in the sky? It's like, bow! Like, that was Jesus' clothes. Mark says that his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Matthew adds that they became as white as light itself. I mean, it's crazy. They're just searching for words to describe this change that was going on there with Jesus. And then verse 30, it gets even better. Two men show up, Moses and Elijah. From the Old Testament, they appear in glorious splendor, and they begin talking to Jesus. I mean, God just, he goes old school here, throwback to the Old Testament. He brings Elijah and Moses to the mountain. Both of these men, by the way, had famously met with God themselves on a mountain. Both of them were prophets. You might remember Moses. Moses was, you know, he had the whole law thing. He gave, the Ten Commandments. He had the experience with God himself. And Elijah, according to the Old Testament prophecy, specifically in Malachi chapter 4, actually had a special role in leading the way for the coming Messiah. Mark and Matthew will go on and tell a little bit about that in their accounts of the transfiguration. Now, I think it's also interesting if you thumb back in Luke 9 just a little bit, just kind of look back a few verses, you'll see that when Jesus asked them, "Who do people say I am?" one of their answers was Elijah. People think you're Elijah. And now Elijah and Jesus are together at the same place at the same time. So I think there's a point there somewhere. And what were they talking about? Look at verse 31. They, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, they spoke about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now, the Greek word here for departure is the word exodus. It means to go out from. He was departing from something. And if you remember, since Moses is there, he experienced an exodus himself, didn't he? He led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. It was a time of salvation. It was a time of deliverance for them. So I believe here that this word exodus is important. He's actually pointing, Jesus is pointing towards a time when he's going to leave. He's going to point a time when he's going to be responsible for deliverance and salvation. And it was going to happen in Jerusalem. What do you think they were talking about? His crucifixion. Yes, they were talking about his death. Verse 32, and Peter and his companions were very sleepy. They were tired. In fact, Mark and Matthew said they had actually fallen asleep. Why were they so tired? They had just, this was a long 2 years for these guys, all right? I mean, they've been like all over the place. And this week especially has been kind of an emotional roller coaster. And now Jesus has climbed a mountain with them. Like, come on, guys, we're going on a hike. Okay, now I'm getting a little bit old for hiking through the mountains. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But you get the, are you ready for a rest after you've hiked up the mountains? All right, so I don't blame these guys for being very sleepy, but they were, they're sleepy. And when this all was happening around them, look what Luke records. It says, when they became fully awake, they got woke fast. Like, check this out, okay? They saw his glory. When they saw his glory, man, they woke up like that. Now, this word glory is the word doxa. It's a great word. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. They saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Verse 33, and as the men were leaving Jesus, Moses and Elijah are like, see ya, you know, they're out of here. As they were leaving, Peter tries to stop. He's like, wait, hold on a second. Master, it is good for us to be here. I don't know who Peter thought he was. I mean, Moses, Elijah, Jesus, and me, you know, like, it's good for us to be here. And he says, let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Luke says he didn't know what he was saying. Mark says he was scared, he was frightened. Now, Peter here, he's either trying to, you know, kind of, man, it's like, Moses, Elijah, we got to stop, seize the moment. You know, I got to kind of Instagram this. Like, this is going to be, you know, like, I got to capture this moment in time. I don't want this to end. So let's build a shelter. Let's kind of camp out here for a while. Let's talk. Let's do this. And then, or perhaps Peter was, maybe he was thinking about the Exodus itself. They had just mentioned that word. And in Jewish history, ever since the original Exodus with Moses, the Jews had celebrated that event with something called the Feast of Tabernacles, which would actually require building tabernacles, building tents. So that's, maybe he's thinking about the Exodus and the Feast of Tabernacles here. We don't know, but we do know is Peter's kind of freaking out, all right? Like, we got to do something here. And while he was speaking, right, like he thought this was good. Look at verse 34. While he's speaking, a cloud appears and covers him up. Now, y'all been to the mountains. We just talked about that. When you go into a cloud in the mountains, things get a little, you know, a little scary, don't they? Sometimes you even lose sight of the road ahead of you. So it's no surprise here that Peter becomes afraid as they entered the cloud. So the cloud descends on them, and then a voice comes out of the cloud. A voice. Now, if you know your Bible at all, what happened? Who is there when a voice comes out of a cloud? Yeah, this means the presence of God is near, okay? So God is there with them, and a voice comes out of the cloud and says these words, this is my son whom I have chosen. This is my son whom I have chosen. Mark says, whom I love. This is my son whom I love. Matthew says, I am well pleased with him. And they all say this, God spoke out of the cloud and said, listen to him. Listen to him. It's like Moses is there, Elijah's there, but listen to him. And here's the climax of the story. This is where it all comes together. God speaks on behalf of Jesus. This is a statement of God to all of history. Y'all, the Old Testament had pointed the way to King Jesus, to the Messiah, and now the King has come, and the old was actually giving way to the new, to King Jesus. And God says, listen to him. From now on, listen to him. In verse 36, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. All alone, just Jesus. No one but Jesus was with him. Matthew says, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. And I love this. If you want to thumb over to Matthew, you can see it in verse 6 there. But when the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. But Jesus came, reaches out and touches him and says, do not be afraid. He looks up, and they saw no one there but him. No one but Jesus. Luke says the disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Mark tells us why. It's because as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. See, Matthew and Mark, they had some questions, and there's some pretty cool stuff in those two books too that we're not going to get into today, but this is Dr. Luke's account, Luke 9, 28 through 36. Great stuff. But what does it mean to us today? I mean, why does it matter? I mean, it's great history and all of that, but how does it affect our lives? What do we get from this? Well, the Transfiguration story is important. And I believe it's so cool because it is the true story of Jesus' glory being revealed. Revealed. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings. His glory revealed. This word glory, it's the word doxa. It means, it literally means divine quality. It means splendor. And years later, if you thought maybe, you know, Peter was still wiping the, you know, sleep out of his eyes when this happened, years later when Peter was in the midst of persecution near the end of his life, 2 Peter chapter 1, he would write these words. He says, we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't make any of this up. We were eyewitnesses to this, Peter says. And then verse 17, Jesus, he received honor and glory. This word doxa. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory. From glory to glory he came saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And we ourselves, Peter says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him. Where? On that sacred mountain. He remembered that mountaintop experience for years and years later. I love the way that scholar R.C. Foster puts it. He describes the transfiguration of King Jesus this way. He says, Jesus was changed back into a measure of his heavenly glory. Yes, that's what happened. The glory, the story and the glory of the transfiguration. And it's so cool, and I think it's so important because it confirms that Jesus is the King of Kings. It was a one-time event. Now, for the past number of weeks, we've seen a lot of one-time events that show Jesus is the King of Kings, but this one's remarkable. This one's remarkable because of what happens to him. You see, the Shekinah glory of God in Jesus showed up. God then speaks to Jesus in a cloud. Now, I might remind you of his baptism, but it's a different event. It's a different thing that happens. And God makes clear at this time, okay, clear to the world that the Old Testament, okay, that Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets all point to Jesus, that they give way to Jesus. And God himself affirms that Jesus and Jesus alone, not even these great men of God, are on the same level with Jesus. There's no one like him. And God also confirms what Peter had said just a couple of days earlier. He confirms what Peter said, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And from now on, it's Jesus. It's only Jesus, no one but him. And God says that we are to listen to him. Just let that take root in your head and in your heart, to listen to Jesus, his Son, with whom he loves and is well pleased. Jesus, Y'all, the King of Kings has come. Do you believe that today? Y'all, do you know that's true today? Who do you say that he is? You see, you can't just trip over this mountaintop experience as if it didn't happen. You know, when God says, this is my son whom I'm well pleased, you need to figure out who Jesus is. If you don't believe in him, you can't just slip over this. You've got to know this for yourself. Do whatever it takes to figure out who Jesus is and what you are going to do about him. And if you are a Christ follower today, if you believe that Jesus is who God says he is, what will you do? What will you do for him as your king? The transfiguration, it does confirm that he is the King of Kings, but it's also cool and it's also important because it gives us strength for the journey ahead. In fact, mountaintop experiences really give us strength for our journey sometimes. If you think about your lives and these stories that you shared, are they kind of cool to look back on? You kind of like looking back on those things? Now, not just going into the mountains, but maybe some accomplishments in your life. You know, maybe when you graduated high school or college, or maybe when you ran that 5K. I don't know what that's like, all right? But anybody ever finish one of those? All right, it's like a mountaintop experience. Or maybe when, you know, you do climb that mountain, you make that hike, or you take the scenic route, or go on that mission trip. You know, maybe that time that, you know, you hit the game-winning home run, right, Jeff? Bottom of the ninth, 3-2 count. His little peewee league won the world. Oh, that was Kip. I'm sorry. Yeah, you remember that? Maybe you hit the game-winning shot. Those are mountaintop moments. You want to capture those moments because they matter. Physical things, emotional things. But, you know, there's also spiritual mountaintops. Conferences. You know, some of you have been to CIY conference or maybe gone back in the day to Promise Keepers and things like that. You know, those mountaintop spiritual experiences. Maybe it was a trip. Maybe it was a sermon at some point, or maybe even a worship service. Maybe even today. You know, you just know you're on a mountaintop experience spiritually. You know, I think of times that, you know, I shared with Dave Pardue, who most of you know. Dave was just a remarkable man to be able to spend time with. You know, and there's been many other guys in my life that really mattered, and not just single days or weeks or events like the transfiguration, but seasons of life, entire seasons sometimes. And you know what? They seem to matter most when we come down off the mountain and we go through the valleys of life. And we just want to reach back and remember those times because they give us strength. And that's why we take pictures. That's why we write memoirs. That's why we use Facebook and we capture those memories. We collect them and we remember statements from our own father, some of us, like Jesus heard from his father that day. We remember the encouragement we receive from our friends, like Jesus received from Peter. We remember meetings with mentors and valuable, valuable experiences and wisdom that we wouldn't trade for anything. Anything in the world. Remembering these mountaintop moments, man, they give us strength, encouragement along the journey of our lives. Seize those moments. Seize those mountaintop moments. You know, I'm sure that this mountaintop experience, this transfiguration, gave strength for everyone that was there that day and for the ages to come. Think about Jesus. Remember, Jesus was in the last nine months of his life, he was just about to embark on a journey to the cross. He had some hard days ahead of him, to say the least. With his death on the cross before him, this experience, I think, was, you know, these words from his father, this affirmation was the kind of thing that would give him strength during this very difficult journey that he was about to make. You know, Jesus also had predicted his suffering and his death and his burial and his resurrection to the apostles. Think about the apostles. I mean, they must have valued this experience too as they faced their own doubts and their own fears, their own crisis and confusion as they saw Jesus go to the cross and die. And as they begin to put the pieces together after his resurrection, oh, could you imagine? They started to think back on this moment. And then these apostles living out the great mission of Jesus. The mission as they faced their own trials, their own persecution, their own deaths, their own journeys. How many times would they recall, would they remember this mountaintop experience for strength along the way? the transfiguration, and for every Christ follower since, for you and for me, on our own journey through life, this can give us strength. Good times and tough times. I know some of y'all are going through some hard times right now. In the face of our enemies, confusion, doubt, go back to the mountaintop and know that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is who his glory showed him to be that day. He is who God said that he was that day. And it will give you strength for your journey. How does that happen? It happens when, just like that day, God can give us strength when we truly experience him, when we come into his presence, and when we listen to him like God said to do, when we listen to Jesus, when we live for Jesus, strength will come. Strength comes from times of going to God on the mountain. And I'm not talking about a physical mountain, but maybe it's in a small group, or maybe it's in a worship service, just getting together with other people in a crowd, or maybe even alone, getting with God in a time and a place where it's just you and him, and reading his word and praying and worshiping and saying, God, come, I want to hear you. I need you. And just allowing him to be a part of your life. To hear his voice, to pray, and then to go and to serve him and to see him in every area of life, to see his glorious face. And even then, I believe this, man, I believe every day you can come home with a mountaintop experience that you've had with God and seize those moments. It'll give you strength. The story, the glory, the transfiguration, it does confirm he's King of Kings, and it will give us strength for our journeys, but it's also important and so cool, just like Jesus that day, because God transforms us for the world to see. He transforms, and I hope this isn't a stretch. Think about this light, but you know what? I think it's cool. So work with me, all right? Now, think. Jesus is God in the flesh. And the transfiguration changes Jesus, okay, just enough that God's glory on his inside, okay, his inner nature as God showed on the outside for those men to see. Jesus's outer appearance was transformed to reflect his inner glory. Just let that process for a second. Because Jesus, we know that he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross and he rose again, we believe in him. Because we believe in him, we turn from our old lives and we turn to him for new life, and we're baptized into Christ. And we live with his spirit inside of us. Inside of us, his spirit. And when this happens, we are literally adopted as his sons and his daughters. God has chosen us. Think about his words to Jesus. God has chosen us. He loves us. He is pleased with us. And being led by his spirit as his sons and daughters, transformation literally happens on the inside. We are changed. We are changed. We are transformed into new creations from the inside out. And man, this is an internal process. This is very, very hard to see from the outside world. You're not going to see what's going on inside, but it can be seen as we display it on the outside. It can be shown to the world around us. In fact, as his sons and daughters, his spirit living on the inside of us should always be seen by the world on the outside of us. Always. You see, when King Jesus transforms us on the inside, it will show on our outside. We might not have sunlit faces, you know, glowing like Jesus did that day. I mean, you know what it's like to have a sunburnt face, okay? But you don't know, you know, to kind of have a sunlit face. Or white clothes. No one's going to put on blue blockers, you know, or their Ray-Bans when we come walking down the street, okay? We know that. But if God is in us, we will shine. We will shine by our love. By his love in us, we will shine from the inside out. And the Bible talks about this all over the place. I love the Old Testament. Daniel says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars, they will shine forever and ever. Matthew 5:14, Jesus, our King, says these words. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says to be blameless and pure, to be children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine. You will shine among them like stars in the sky. The word of God, Psalm 37, David says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine. He will make it shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. And the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 5, I love this. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. You are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light. Y'all, the transfiguration of Jesus reminds us that Jesus still shines as bright as he did that day on that mountain through the love of his people, you and I, living as children of light. And I got to apologize. You know, I've got to say I'm sorry if you have experienced the opposite of that. Maybe today you're here and you just kind of had it with church or Christians and you've seen just the opposite of that out of the people of God, because we don't always get it right. And I'm sorry for that. But when we experience his glory and show his glory, it is a radiant, beautiful, transforming thing. And we really want to. I hope you want to today. As a body of Christ, I hope, CCW, I hope you want to. I hope you want to see and just allow God to transform us and shine his light from the inside out. And I see it. I see it in so many of you today, God just shining from the inside out. I see it in the preschool. Donnie, I don't know where you're at. Donnie Nunes, where are you? Man, I see you shining. I see you shining on your hands and knees playing Legos with those little kids just so you can tell them about the light of the world. You shining. Friends and family of B. Jacobs, Jeff's mom, I see you shining. Shining on her bedside. Helping her to eat, to walk, to smile. You're shining. Your men's small group, Glenn, I see your small group at Perkins. Man, I see you shining to that waitress who serves you. Man, you just made her day. She's had a rough morning. You made her day that day. And the tip you left her is probably going to buy groceries for her family for the rest of the week. Shining. You're shining. I see you high school kids, middle school kids on Wednesday night. I see Tom, and I see Alex, and I see Sydney and Briley and so many of you in the concession stand raising money to build a house in Mexico while your friends are in the gym playing games. You're shining. Right now, a number of them are shining, helping expedition kids and all over this place, holding doors, serving in the cafe, and out in the world around us, as Chad said this morning. Maybe it's at the YMCA. Maybe it's in the line at Walmart. Maybe it's wherever you go and wherever you do, you're shining. I could be here all day because you're serving, you're smiling, you're leading, you're praying, you're hugging, you're helping, you're shining. Shining for the King Jesus. You know why? Because now, you are the story of his glory. You are the story of his glory. And if not, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The transfiguration of Jesus confirms that he is the King of Kings. Do you believe he is who he says he is? Who do you say he is? And if you believe it, live like it. Give your life to him today. If you're not a Christian, you can leave today as a follower of Jesus, be baptized into Christ, and leave with the glory of God living inside of you through the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christ follower today like me, we can leave this place with a brand new, just kind of look on life to be able to shine for him. Leave here to shine for him today. It'll also give us strength. The transfiguration gives us strength for the journey. How will God give you strength this week? Maybe this is your week to do something you've never done before. Maybe get in the Word of God every day. Maybe pray just a little bit. Maybe join that small group. How will you receive strength from the transfiguration story today? And it also will transform us for the whole world to see this week. this week, how will the world, your world, how will the world see his glory in your story? As you think about that, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing a song and just kind of process this a little bit. Let's think about it. If you want to write something down in your sermon notes, you can do that. How will you shine this week? How will you get strength this week? What do you do about Jesus this week? All right, we're going to sing this song. And make no mistake about it. This is not about us. It's not about our church. It's not about you and me. It is about him. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about his glory. And he receives glory through all that we are and all that we do. Let's pray to him. And then we are going to sing and worship together. Father God, we love you. Thank you so much for this story, the way that your word just comes alive through the power of your Holy Spirit centuries later. And God, I pray that we would be inspired by the transfiguration, the changing of your son, and that we would be changed by you from the inside out, and that we would see the world around us change because of you. And God, we will give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus, the name of our mighty King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.